Hey guys.
Welcome to another episode of P-Time with Tony.
And Jackie.
Like we had to think about our names there for a second.
No, it's the pause. Dramatic effect.
Didn't seem dramatic. It seemed
supposed to pause to gather the audience's attention.
They're like, with who? But with who?
One of these times I'm going to do it and they're going to be like, oh shit, what happened to my volume? And crank it up and I'll go, Tony!
You probably scared somebody drinking their coffee just now. All right. Let's start it off.
How do you want to start it off?
Gun news, of course.
Okay, gun news.
Unless we're going to run things backwards today.
No. Gun news is fine.
All right. So, Walther has just announced their releasing of the PPK.
Re-releasing.
Did they ever make them in there?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's
why they stopped making them.
Because they weren't popular?
Because they didn't sell.
Oh, okay. They're re-releasing the Walther PPK and PPKS, both in blued and stainless, in 32 ACP, which I was unaware that was a thing. Apparently it was a thing, then it wasn't, now it is again. But it won't be for long, I assume. Those will all four models, blued and stainless, in the PPK and the PPKS, MSRP for $969.
Can only imagine why these are being, like, this is what happened in the factory. Ludwig, come quick. Yes, Charles, what is it? Ludwig, look, we still have 32 ACP PPKs. How? Ludwig, this is not good. No, Charles, we need to sell these now.
Again. Yeah, I wasn't aware. How about how far back was it? Do you know that?
No idea.
No, like way, way back or?
No, it wasn't that far.
Well, Tony's looking that up.
So it's dimensionally the same, right? They just put a different barrel in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
So it is the same size as the traditional PPK or PPKS. The S is just the longer 7-round version instead of the short gripped 6-round version. That's the only difference between the PPK and the PPKS, so you can get them in shorty or full grip in blued or stainless. I can't even say full grip, but bigger grip. It looks like Tony's still doing some digging on when it was that this existed. That is slipping my memory, because I don't recall them ever being in 32, but you're probably right.
I know I'm right. And James Bond's first... I believe his first PPK was a 32.
His first PPK wasn't even a PPK. It was the PP before the PPK came out, and that was a 380. The original film. The very first one. So. I feel like you're purposely doing the suspense thing again. Nervous chuckle, he says. Well, we can start on some other stuff while he's digging into that.
Well, anyway, they used to make it.
And I shouldn't have asked a question that involves so much digging and research.
I shouldn't have, or I should have been more prepared.
Look at us arguing for who's wrong. Wronger.
Okay, so maybe it was the PP?
That was made in 32.
Yes.
And not the PPK or PPKS.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Augmented with variants offered in 380N, by 2013, Walther discontinued the 32 version of the PPK and PPKS.
Huh. So 11 years after their discontinuation, they're like, let's bring that shit back.
Again, I'm sure they found some.
Right.
We're like, son of a beach.
But it'll be a limited run, I'm sure. And then once they sell out, they're done.
You know, the problem is, though, it's not going to sound or feel like a limited run because they're going to sell so slowly. It's going to be another 10 years
before they finally run out.
It's continuing.
Right.
How much do you guys make? 50. Listen,
that's funny.
I'm a huge fan of this gun movie-wise. I think cultural-wise, for the gun world, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have one. We should probably test it.
Yeah.
I will have to bring some type of very, very strong tape to be able to shoot it.
Yeah.
And maybe some quick clot.
Probably.
But,
or I'll you just shoot it once, and when you start to bleed, I'll pick up and do the rest.
Yeah, we can do that. That'll work.
Yeah.
I just don't think the gun is relevant anymore. I think it's even more less relevant.
Even more irrelevant?
Sure.
Okay.
More or less irrelevant. Now, in 32.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. If Beretta was contemplating getting rid of their Tomcat, which has been, like, a steady stream.
It's been a staple for their company for decades.
You guys came out with it in 380, didn't change the shape. And now you come out with it in 32. Now, what would have been cool that could have thrown a little spice at it?
Throw out a barrel optic ready.
No.
Just thinking Tomcat.
30 super carry.
Oh.
Put a fucking firecracker of a round in the PPK that is all metal,
mm-hmm.
so it won't be as snappy as some of the other guns.
Mm-hmm. You know what I really do want to shoot in 30 super carry is the Nighthawk.
Really?
Just because it's heavier than...
Put 9 major in one.
it's heavier than, you know, Smith & Wesson is the only other one that makes something for that caliber.
Not anymore. They knew how the... Oh, look, gun news you didn't know we were going to do. The Vita 9. I don't remember the guy's name. He's an instructor guy, but he helped design a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a Vita 9 something. They're also offering it in 30 super carry now.
Huh.
Not many people are buying that gun in 9. Spoiler alert. Even less are going to buy it in 30 super carry.
Surprise.
But for the eclectic nature of the PPK now, I think 30 super carry actually could have been like a, you know what? I will buy that.
Yeah.
Because guess what? That round is as popular and relevant as 32.
Right.
It uses the same bullet.
Oh, that's true. The projectile is the same. Hmm. It's probably easier to get 32 brass.
But they're not making it. What do they give a shit?
That's true. All right. Next on the list.
Oh, we're done with the PPK?
We are done. We are so done.
All right. Da-da-da-da.
Da-da. We're done.
Okay. Tangfolio, which you're probably as surprised as I am. They indeed still make guns. It's weird coming from when we entered competition shooting. Tangfolio was like... Tangfolio back then is what the Shadow 2 is now.
Right.
Everyone had a stock too.
It was the pinnacle of USPSA production.
You know, I'm sure it helped that Ben was whooping everyone's ass in production with it.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben, I mean Ben and Steger, in case you weren't following along or didn't know. But they've seemed to die out, and die out even more to the fact that their main importer from back then, EAA, no longer imports them.
Right.
So now they have the IFG, the Italian Firearms
Group, yeah.
Right. Which I haven't seen much from them.
No, neither have I.
And parts were damn near impossible, but steady enough to get back then. They're impossible to get now.
You have to get parts like straight from Italy now?
No, the only people I think in this, I think there's two people in the States, Patriot and then like JL Gunsmithing on the East Coast are the only two people I think you can get Tangfolio parts from. I mean, Steger's Pro Shop will stock some here and there, but
stock,
not what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is like a stock two that decided to masquerade as a tactical gun. Okay. This is their, I love Italian. So quick little tidbit. For some reason, Italian car companies and their gun companies, I think it's just marketers in general, they're like, we just need to say stuff and make it so. like Maserati, Italian, great history. They make a car called the Quattroporte. Do you know what Quattroporte means?
Four ports.
Four doors.
Four. Oh.
Guess how many doors this car has?
Four.
Four.
So that's the model of the car. That's
the model of the car. You have Ferrari. They make the La Ferrari. Do you know what La Ferrari means?
No.
The Ferrari. It's... They make a Ferrari called the Ferrari. Now we have Tenfolio that makes the Force Duty Tactical.
So because they say it is true.
What? They literally looked at whatever the like meta keywords are, like what gets the most clicks? That's the name. Which one? All of them. So this is a new offering. Threaded barrel, red dot ready for an RMSC, or this is where they're smarter than their other countrymen. They also have a multi-optic plate with a bunch of screws in it, mm-hmm. an adjustable sight plate, and a fixed sight plate. All very cool. Tactical grips, those are their words. Magwell. And PDP-like serrations. Guys, I know this is an audio podcast. It literally looks like they took the PDP serrations and, like, smashed them down into, like, a pyramid shape to keep the Tenfolio slide shape. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, head over to Instagram, at Laugh and Load. It'll be on the picture for the show coming out. It is ridiculous looking. It is the most airsoft looking gun you've ever seen.
Fantastic.
I have no idea what the price is. I'm going to take a guess. $1,300.
I was going to say 14. That was
probably good. Yeah.
Italians. I tell you.
Yeah. I have no idea if it's going to come to the States. Who would be able to get it? No clue. But if you're one of those guys that...
Diehard Tampo fans.
Yeah. That's right up your alley. Tenfolio Force Duty Tactical.
Don't. You even said it like a commercial.
They need to hire whoever used to do the FN voicemail.
Oh yeah.
To do that.
So serious and very intense.
Thank you for calling Tenfolio. Order your Force Duty Tactical. So stupid. All right, next.
So we have some SIG not SIG news, and some SIG SIG news. We'll go with the SIG, not SIG news first. It's
SIG, not SIG.
So this is by Magpul. They are now making a 320 grip module, which...
They're making two.
Yes. Which when you first showed me this, it took me a second look to realize that it wasn't actually an OG 320 mod.
Yeah. Jackie was like, they already made... Wait a minute.
There's a slight difference in the grip panel itself. Other than that.
Well, when I showed it to you, I told you, it literally looks like they took the X-Carry frame and merged it with the original 320 grip or the M18 grips as most people see them now.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. Those MSRP for $59.95.
Imagine the guys at Magpul like, hey, we're making a mag for this. Let's make a grip.
Right. White.
I have an M18. It's awesome. Well, I have an X series. Let me feel that. Okay, this is also awesome. Which one do you like better? Yes.
Yep, that's probably exactly how they created all that. The SIG, actual SIG. Oh,
more Magpul stuff, since we're talking about them. I don't have the models because there was just too many of them, but they're releasing a bunch of new AR stocks. And a new M-Lock style handguard for ARs. I didn't bother to look up the prices or release dates of them.
New stuff coming.
Yeah. On to SIG SIG news.
SIG SIG.
I see what you did there. Like Ferrari, SIG the SIG.
They are coming out. Oh, it's ridiculous and it's super annoying. So I'm going to tell you what it's called. is called the MP320 Cal-X kit. So, comparing to the Flux Raider.
Yeah, well, that's the... I can't believe it was hilarious. I looked at the comments on the video I saw this morning right away, and everyone's like, oh, the Flux Raider we have at home.
Right.
Like, it's... It's basically SIG has decided that they could make a better looking Micro Roni kit, but instead of shoving the whole gun in, it just uses the top end of your 320 and the FCU like the Raider. Now, there's a couple interesting things about this. According to Ammoland.com, there are only 800 units available. It is polymer. It comes with a brace. The upper is an alloy. It's like a shroud. It'll come with a 30 round magazine and a Romeo 5X dot. Oh, I'm sure it's going to be expensive. Once again, I have no fucking clue what this thing is priced at. But if you wanted to buy one, there's only one way for you to buy it. You have to drive your happy ass to New Hampshire to go to the SEC. Are you unaware what that is? I was too. That is the SIG Experience Center. What's funny is when I read the caption, they put SIG Sauer Experience Center. I'm like, SSEC. This says SEC. Sauer Experience Center?
SIG Experience Center.
Yes. That's the only way to buy one. You have to go buy it in person.
In New Hampshire. That's the part that's frustrating, right? Like, you were talking about how, you know, Flux Raider is constantly out of stock. Like, they're a small place. They're making them as quickly as they can make them. They're out of stock already. Are you Google mapping how long it would take you to drive to get it?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to take a look at something. Oh, so funny enough, right? If you drove to New Hampshire to get it, and you live where we live, you'd have to drive through Massachusetts with the 30-round mag you just bought, or New York.
Lovely.
So, guess we're not getting one.
Well, you could always fly out there and then ship it back to your home.
I suppose you could.
Mm-hmm. That would be really the only way, unless you like go up into Canada to avoid the states that you can't bring all this.
There's no way you can do that. Canada's going to look at you and go, you're arrested now.
Well, hop on a ferry and take it down to Virginia and then come back the other way, I guess. I don't know. It seems ridiculous that you can only buy that in that tiny little corner of our country in person. That's the only way to get it.
So if anyone gets one of those, or gets a chance to shoot it, I would love to talk to you about it and see what you thought. Because
mm-hmm.
chances are I won't.
Ever. The only other thing in gun news that we had to cover are some changes to ACE.
Yes. ACE Virtual Shooting has a new pricing structure. And the pricing structure we mentioned beforehand was kind of, you were, what'd they call it? Early adopters. So you got a discount on everything. You basically got the handset for free.
Mm-hmm.
That is no longer the case. And they've grown exponentially as far as what stages are offered, what different features in the game. They even have drills created by guys such as Tim Heron. They have the Guns Out dueling range. They have a lot of stuff. They have some CZ stuff from Eric Raffel. So I'm pretty excited with the growth.
Mm-hmm.
So people were concerned before, like, oh, I'm paying to have what? Well, you're paying to have access to it, but you're also paying to support new stuff going forward.
Right.
So the new pricing structure is there because they also now offer monthly. So you can do monthly at $19 per month. Or if you pay for the year up front, it's $14. it breaks down to $14 a month, but you have to pay the year up front.
Mm-hmm. So $60 of savings a year.
Right.
72.
Here's the kicker now. Now you have to buy the handsets separately. So you'll have to pay for your yearly membership and the handset. The handset is $199. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it sounds expensive. It is, right? A $200 controller is not cheap. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at this in a comparison for like sim game to sim game, if you look at it as a game, mm-hmm. as opposed to a training tool, just look at it as a game. You've seen how much the seat and steering wheel and pedal set is for sim driving.
Oh yeah, it's very expensive.
You're talking at least a few $100. So you're already there. You're already over that with just the price of the, if you just look at the handset. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. It's not priced bad. It is more than it was, no doubt. But I still think as a training tool, I think it's worth it. I still use it. I still enjoy it. And I will say, when you do it, when you sign up for it, and when you sign up for it, if you use the code LNL, you get a month free. So I think that only applies to
paying the year in advance.
The full year, correct. But use code LNL, get a month off, save some money. When you get activated on there, do yourself a favor and join Discord.
Yeah.
The community on there is crazy active and super helpful. They're having at least one, if not two matches per week. And I'm talking full matches like the last one they had. I think there was like 20 people. Mm-hmm. That's a good match.
Yeah.
And it's not just the handset now, because there are guys out there 3D printing new handsets. Like, I'm currently working on one right now that I had a friend 3D print for me, and it is modeled after an Atlas Artemis or Athena, one of those two. But I'm adding some weight to it, mm-hmm. taking the FCU out of the original one and popping it in this one.
So yeah, some texturizing the grip.
But there are guys that have full Glock grips, Shadow 2. So the Shadow 2 grips that guys have built mm-hmm. are so dope, because they show where to put the helicoil to attach actual Shadow 2 grips.
Oh, wow.
To the handset.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So if you use it as a training tool, I think it's pretty dope. I think it's worth the investment. I still enjoy doing it. You haven't been on it as much, but I think that'll change once you get to play with the new handset.
I'm really excited for the new handset.
Yeah.
And they announced
their new handset.
Yes.
Which it shouldn't have surprised most people, but most people didn't know about Ace back then. Mm-hmm. I tried Ace long, long ago at Staccato's new range facility that was being built. So they've been partners mm-hmm. with Staccato for a long time. Staccato was the first gun in the game. The original handset was a 2011. It just didn't work so well. The new one coming out is a Staccato. So if you're looking to train with a 2011 platform in this, I would say wait a little bit. I'm sure the new handsets are going to be available soon. Don't have a date on it yet, but very soon.
And if you don't wait, the handset you'll get with it that they have with it right now is the 320.
Yeah, it's shaped like a 320. They call it the Articus, but it's basically a 320.
Yep. That is it for gun news, I believe.
Yes, our week in shooting. Well, we both shot our local match.
Mm-hmm. Which is always my favorite one to shoot because it's so close. I don't have to wake up as early.
Yeah.
And then try and keep myself awake in the car and then perform at the match half asleep. So we shot the local to us, which is in Plainfield, Illinois, Oak Park Sportsman's Club. It was a balmy 78 degrees when we left.
It was not 78 when we were halfway through the match.
Hotter?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was 78 at noon, and then it got hotter towards the end.
All I know, even if you subtract a few degrees from the truck sitting in the heat, when I got in the truck to leave, it said 91.
Oh. Yeah, I was way off then. It did feel like it was hotter.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, looking at the weather and, like, you know, thinking about, like, what I'll be anticipating for the day, I was like, wow, this definitely seems like I seem way hotter now than I should be for this temperature, but that's because I was inaccurate.
What did you shoot?
Oh, a lot of paper, a lot of steel, and no shoots.
What gun did you use?
I used the MPA.
The DS9 hybrid?
Yes. It's beautiful. She shoots so good. So well. She shoots so well. I did have a little accident with my ammo that I made. And
what was the accident?
May or may not have had a squib that stopped me from chambering the next round over and over and over and over again until I realized what had happened.
So what's interesting is I think this is the first time I've ever been around a squib that didn't sound like a squib.
It didn't.
There was no, like...
Yeah, nothing.
It was, like, scary.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it wasn't there.
Right.
Thankfully, you got it out. Thankfully, nothing else chambered.
Yeah.
So that was good. You shot really aggressive with it. I are you liking the 2011 platform?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has, I feel like it has a little bit more heft than the Platypus.
Well, it weighs, I mean, it's a steel frame.
Yeah. So it has a lot more weight to it, which, and I always loved the heavy guns. You know, I loved the, you know, the tungsten infused 320. I loved shooting the Shadow 2. Like,
and it had your gamer light on it.
Yeah.
So
it did. No, I have a functioning light.
No.
Yeah.
No, totally. It's not on there.
Totally.
I'll talk to them. Go get it. Okay. Make a bet right now.
What do I lose?
Huh?
What do I have?
I don't know, but I'm feverishly checking to make sure that it's the gamer light. I can tell you right now by the weight of that gun, it's the gamer light. Are you guys ready? Drum roll. Oh shit!
You're blind, bitch. It's a flashlight.
Turns out, not gamer light.
Right. So now that my husband is blind
and deaf.
So. It is not a gamer light, but it is a flashlight nonetheless, so it has a tiny bit of weight under the front.
3 ounces compared to the 8.
It was an absolute dream to shoot. I shot it for the first time at last month's match, and haven't touched it since. And shot it at this match way more confidently. I will say that I know that I need to get more time behind the gun, because taking off the safety is still not second nature to me. I have to, at the make ready, I have to, like, tell myself in my head, draw, thumb down. Like, draw, take the safety off. Like, that has to be, like, a constant in my head. And that shouldn't be what I'm thinking of as the buzzer's going off.
No. You know what solves that?
Practice, dry fire, yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. That's why I said I'll be the first to admit I need more time behind it. But it is a lot of fun to shoot. Like, it's a really fun gun. I feel like I can really, like, run it hard and not have as much error on target.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the same type of feels as when I shot my first match with the Platypus.
Okay.
That, like, I can go faster, so, than I was. I don't feel like I was shooting any faster, but I feel like I was more aggressive because I was more confident in my shots.
Okay.
How was your match?
I shot the Oracle, the OA Defense,
mm-hmm,
2311 with the newly installed 507 Comp on it. So prior to that, we had an old RMR. One so old it doesn't have buttons. It's not LED. It's not anything. It's just always on. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to try and send that to Trigicon, because something I think's wrong with the emitter.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hoping they send me a new one.
That would be nice.
I like an RMR, just not this one.
Mm-hmm.
The gun shot really well, with the exception, a friend of mine, thank you, friend, helped me out by giving me a bunch of his practice ammo, and he noted, hey, this is my shit ammo. I don't know what's in here, but you're more than welcome to it, and you can use it at the match. And me being the lazy son of a bitch that I am, that didn't want to load, I said, yes, I will. And I paid for it on 4 of the 6 stages. I had malfunctions. Costly time heavy function or malfunctions. So aside from those, the gun shot great. And those malfunctions definitely were not due to the gun, because when I ran factory ammo through it, it ran just fine.
So we both had ammo issues.
Yes,
and both due to reloading. One was someone else's reloads and the other one was mine.
Yes.
I also have to give a huge shout out and thank you a million times over to one Mr. Max Klatt for saving my entire match.
True.
Because Tony has something to tell you guys.
Hey guys. So for the longtime listeners, we've been doing this 167 episodes now. You guys remember the copious amounts of shit that I've been given over the years for that fateful trip to Florida to Nationals where I forgot my magazines. Collectively, you're going to have to imagine this, but I know someone in their car will. Can you ask Jackie what she forgot to bring to the match?
What did you forget to bring to the match?
I brought 0 2011 mags.
You brought 0 mags.
Period. I got 0 mags. I had 0 mags in my bag.
None.
Not a single one. I always keep them in the same pouch. I took them out to use them on a different gun and never put them back.
Yep.
And that's what happens when you don't touch your gear from 1 month's match to the next month's match.
Nope.
Completely my fault. Max saved the day. He had 2 extra 140s that he lent me. And I felt so bad because his squad finished so early, and because he lives so far away, he hung around for an hour and a half or so after he finished shooting.
Yeah, he's working on his tan.
To wait for us to finish shooting so that I could get him his mags back. So we rushed me to the big first shooter on the last squad so I could unload my mags and hand them back to him so he could drive home after sitting in the heat all day like us. But huge, huge thanks to Max.
Thank you, buddy. Love you.
Save the day.
So overall, the match was
a shit show, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Got to hang out with a bunch of friends. Our buddy Eddie Tactical came out.
Mm-hmm.
Shot. It's been forever. He was very enthused to take his new eyes for a test drive. He had LASIK done.
Mm.
So he's very excited. And our buddy Robert came out. Finally got him out to a match this year. He's like, I was like, you haven't shot a match this year. He goes, bullshit, I shot one in November. I'm like, that was last year.
You still suck. No, he beat me. Nobody sucks more than me at this match. This is a pretty bad one for me.
Yeah. I feel you on that one. I feel the same for me.
Yeah. Well, you still beat me, even if it was by only 0.5%.
You really had to throw that in there, and I told you.
You still beat me.
It's nothing to be proud of.
Hey, if you beat me by 1 point or 1 million, you still beat me.
You calm down, Vin Diesel.
By an inch or by a mile.
Winning's winning. Anyway, questions?
Questions, yes.
Okay. Let's start. This one's easy. What is your favorite ice cream?
Yes. Baskin Robbins.
What?
31 flavors.
I know you have to
have. I have a favorite. I think if I had to say my one favorite, and it's not just any mint chip ice cream, it's Plush Horse mint chip ice cream.
Okay.
Because it is it's mint heavy, but not toothpastey fakey mint, really, really good. Rich mint, and the chips, there are so many chips, but they're not giant chunks where you have to chew them. Yeah, they're shaved, but there's so many of them. Yeah. They're amazing. It's amazing.
You don't even have to, like, there's no, like, chunks you're chewing. You just, like, it's in your mouth, there's the mint, then the chocolate melts, and it's on to the next bite. So good. I really want ice cream now. Thanks a lot, whoever submitted that.
I have two.
Of course you do.
Well, one is just store-bought. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think it's Dean. I never look at the brand. I think they're the only people that make it, but it's Moose Tracks.
Oh, yes.
Which has...
itsy bitsy Reese's in it.
Really tiny Reese's in it. It has, I think it has caramel in it. And it has chocolate, like, swirls in it. Vanilla ice cream. So good.
It's really good. There's another one like that. Something else tracks. They call it something else.
Yeah.
What's out? Is that turtle, like turtle tracks?
Yeah.
And it's got like little like caramel cups instead of peanut butter cups or something.
And my other one is there is a local what would you call it? Like a Mexican bakery?
Oh, the Mexican ice cream place, the La Michoacana?
Yeah.
The cookie dough?
Their homemade cookie dough ice cream?
Yeah.
Is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Super good. Yeah. I mean, they're like little chains you can like franchise out, like 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay.
So they're all over. There's like tons of them all over the Chicagoland area, but because they are individually owned and not technically a chain, because they're little franchises, they don't have all of the same things at all of the locations.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that one.
I like your mangonadas. But it's not ice cream, because there's no cream. But it's a frozen dessert.
Yes.
A frozen treat. In my belly.
Favorite red dot.
Probably the Hollow Sun 507C. 407C. Doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah.
The little window?
C.
The little window.
C. The C is their normal size. It's not the 507 comp.
I know.
It's their normal size window. The K is their little window. It's their normal size window.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to the comp. The reticle still really screws with my eyes.
Why don't you use regular dot?
There's a lot of settings. I always hit the wrong button.
You shot with it this weekend.
I know, and it was that little ziggy zaggy, so I turned it all the way down so it wouldn't bother me.
What ziggy zaggy? What are you talking about?
That's how my eyes see it. It looks like a little, like a half C circle with a little zigzag in the middle.
Why didn't you change it?
I just assumed they were all like that. It's just bigger, you smaller versions of it. Gun
store, for God's sakes.
I pressed a bunch of buttons and I said, fuck it. Every time I look at it. Plus, I told you when it showed the other one, like when I see it, it looks blurry to me. Like I can't visually identify the different shapes that it shows you on the screen. Like visually when I see it, maybe it's because it's green. Maybe if I seen the 507 comp in red, then my eyes would react differently. My eyes, it always just looks like a big zigzag in the middle of the screen, no matter what button I press.
Pretty sure yours is red.
No, it's green.
Are you sure?
I promise you it's green. Are you going to take it out of my bag and show me with my fake flashlight that really works that this is a green optic on my gun? You tell me all about my gun that I'm carrying. Green?
No.
Oh, yeah. Bullshit is green.
Maybe I had the red one.
Oh, my goodness.
Could be.
I'll try the red one and see if that makes a difference for me. But, yeah, I do really like the 507C or the 407C. Okay. Only, you know, 507 gives you the ring option. I never use that. But 507 with the dot reticle or the 407 as it comes.
The 507 comp is really nice, but I think overall I'm still team SRO for the best overall dot for me. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at. And this last question we missed, it was a few ago when you weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
And, someone came in. Or someone messaged you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's this?
Another question.
Oh. Okay, so have you or Tony checked out the 92XI Squalo yet? No. Not yet. Soon-ish. That's the one we talked about on here. Was like their Limops ready one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the other question. A new shooter had a question for you, and he was looking to buy a Glock 34
mm-hmm.
or an Echelon.
Yes.
And he wanted to have it as a competition-specific gun.
Yes.
What did you recommend to him?
I told him the pros and cons of both.
It's not what I asked you.
I told him that the Echelon was a great choice.
I'm gonna need you to spell that out for me. Why did you
I really like the trigger on it.
Uh-huh.
I really like the fact that it takes all the different optics without a plate system.
Okay.
That's it.
What?
He said he already liked Springfields in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So for me, if you already like Springfields and this has a nicer trigger than the Glock and it has a better optic plate, you know, or lack of plate system for direct mounting, and you already like the Springfield, it seems silly to go with a Glock.
Really? How about mag extensions?
What are those? Aren't they changing that shit to 15?
Oh, we should probably talk about that after this.
Yeah.
So just the optic and the trigger? That's where we're at?
Well, I gave him pros and cons of both, and then when he responded with the things that he liked or didn't like about what I said, it led me to, like, he was already veering towards the Echelon with what he said about it. So I wasn't going to be like, oh yeah, I'm really glad you like those features. Why don't you get the other gun?
So I just recently got to shoot an Echelon that was well broken in.
Mm-hmm.
And the trigger becomes substantially better. I think they did a good job with the Echelon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to it, and I do think the aftermarket will catch up to it. If I'm not mistaken, Scott at Springer Precision already has some base plates coming out for it. But nothing will compete with the aftermarket support of a Glock.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot available for the Glock.
I was just curious. He asked me the same question,
mm-hmm.
and when he said, haha, your wife said the opposite, I said, what? And then I proceeded to go, did she tell you she also competed with the Glock? No? She leave that out? Okay.
Oh, he also already has a Springfield Echelon brand new in the box just sitting there.
Yes.
So, being that he already had it, and it has good options.
I just wanted to know the reasoning. That was I found it quite interesting.
Throughout the conversation, it became more and more clear that as a starting point, with something he already has, with two great features on it already, that it wouldn't be a bad place to start. Why are you handing me the fake flashlight?
That's the one that I thought was on there.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. Anyway, so the Area 8 director put up something on Facebook, which apparently was taken down, but because we have the Giga Chads out there on the interwebs that know exactly how to cap screens very quickly, we could all reminisce and find out what he was talking about. And the proposed division rule changes take carry optics down to 15 rounds and add in major power factor to limited optics.
Which is something that we had kind of ran past a little bit. I think you and Eric were talking a little bit, and you and Tim were talking a little bit about the divisions and what could change, what could keep things like different and not make them all so very similar to one another, you know, speaking, you know, when Limops was first introduced.
Right.
So keeping carry optics and limited optics more.
And I still believe that.
As a, you know, more of a divide between the two. Right now, they're essentially, these are the same guns. One can have a magwell in a single action and the other one can't. That's it. That's the only difference.
So what do you think about those? So as much as I like Major, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I don't think you should put it there. It's going to destroy red dots. Destroy them. Most of these companies are having trouble keeping red dots that function with 9mm.
So, because they're restricted to slide-mounted and not frame-mounted like an open gun, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think Limops, the way it is right now, is good. I think you should leave it alone. if you want to change something, and this is an if, I wouldn't mind seeing carry optics go down to 15 and or whatever fits in a flush fit magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what is this going to be one of those like production box type things? Is what you're getting at?
No, it just has to be flush fit for the grip.
But then, does the gun have to fit in a box?
No, because it doesn't have to now.
What's to say that you can't 3D print a 30 round SIG 320 grip module to sit flush with your magazine?
Because they would probably see that as a magwell.
No, not if the entire gun is that long.
I'll tell you what, if someone wants to do
that's what I'm saying, is it could get ridiculous. If they end up doing the flush mag thing, they have to make a box restriction because, well, if I thought of it, you know, at least 100 other guys thought of it.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a problem.
Oh. You're thinking of the wrong group of friends. Think of the other group of friends.
No, I just don't see. I'm sure there's a rule in there that already has that kind of nailed down. Because if that's the case, why hasn't somebody done it already?
Because you can have 140 mil mags. Like, they have a restriction on the magazine length right now.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't see that being a...
If it doesn't have to fit in a box and it doesn't have a restriction on the magazine, it is limitless. It has to have one or the other.
They would just say no extensions.
Does a Glock 30 round magazine have an extension? It is a one full body. It does not have an extension.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I know.
It has to have either a box for the gun.
I'm sure someone's screaming at us because I'm sure there's something in the rules that would prevent it otherwise.
Now that you take that 140 mil restriction.
I'm telling you, I'm sure there's something. I don't know what it is because I haven't read the rule book.
Well, instead of screaming at us through your car speakers, guys, why don't you send us an email? pewtimepodcast@gmail.com, or you can shoot us a DM on Facebook or Instagram to let us know that we're wrong and fill us in. Give us the rule numbers.
Not we, Jackie. Jackie's wrong.
But back to carry optic.
Okay, 15. Aside from your fucking dildo magazine. What else?
That's also technically an extension. I would be totally fine with a 15 round magazine. I don't, if you, the flush thing won't work unless you make a box restriction. But if you do the 15 round limit, it would then match that of production. But you'd have the optic. So it would be basically production optics or production irons, right? Instead of carry optics, like that's basically what it would end up being because they're both the same capacity restrictions, just one's irons and one's optics. But in production, you can actually shoot a single action gun, but if you want to throw a dot on it, now you're in limited optics.
You can't shoot a single action in production.
Shadow 2.
That's a double single.
Huge difference. With a hammer.
Huge.
Oh, yeah, because you can shoot a double single and carry optics too.
Yes.
Hmm.
Again. Email Pewtime Podcast and attention Jackie.
Yeah, I got a little screwed up on that there.
You did. You've been drinking?
Not yet. Uh-huh. Is it too early?
Sounds like it's too late.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a 15 round limit in carry optics to make a bigger gap between what makes it carry optics and what makes it limited optics.
Yeah. But you can also see everyone else's side of the coin going, these are the two most popular divisions you have. You should just leave them alone.
I mean, the thing is, if you're already shooting in carry optics and you want to keep your sticks at 140, just sign up under Lim Ops.
That's what I said originally on how to keep them the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or to keep them different.
Yeah.
Because I was down with it being capped at 15.
Right.
And that was back when this was first limited optics was first brought up.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I mean, if you want to shoot your sticks, shoot Lim Ops. And you get a magwell then. Woohoo!
It's funny, I shoot Limops with 140s and no magwell. But single action.
So it has to be Limops.
So.
I think there'll be far less, I can shoot this gun in either division type of thing without having to change or modify anything.
And they already kind of, there's already a box that exists that could be used, not that they would use that exact one, but the IDPA box is that way. For their carry optics division,
mm-hmm.
It has to fit in the production box, and its top is lopped off. So the optic can fit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So that was technically not a question. That was gun news that should have been at the top of the episode.
Yeah, might have fucked that up.
But here we are. I think that's all we have for this week.
Next week, Jackie's not going to be joining me.
I'm not?
You're not.
Surprise. Oh.
Because I found out the match I'm going to this weekend is the Falling Steel World Series, or World Series of Falling Steel. Not sure which
way. Falling Steel World Series.
I'm going to go shoot that on Saturday. And I found out Manny is shooting it on Sunday.
Oh, fun.
So next week, Manny will be joining me so we can discuss shooting this match. This is the second time they've had this match. And it'll be the first time that Manny and I both shot it. I think it'd be kind of cool to sit down and kind of discuss what our experiences were like.
Yeah. And it'll be, you know, different, right? Because you guys won't be shooting on the same, you know, on the same squad or even on the same day.
Or the same division. He's shooting open, I'm shooting carry optics. So.
That'll be fun.
Should be quite fun.
You guys will have a great time with Manny, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I think that's it.
Yep. Again, I know we said it before, but if you have questions or you want to just give us a really hard time, we're down for that. Send us an email at pewtimepodcast@gmail.com. You can send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or all the socials at Laugh and Load. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We did just release a new video, two new videos, in this last week and a half or so. And we had a ton of fun.
That's right. Yeah, we did the night vision shoot, and I put up a recap video, and then we reviewed the FN 510 and the Gideon Omega Red Dot.
And just before then, so three videos up for new ones. I got a chance to shoot the Kimber K6XS carry. So, lots of good stuff up there for you guys to check out. Please subscribe, like, comment, share with your friends. We love you so much, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.